The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The Joe Show, Connecting All Abilities. I'm your host, Joe DeYoung. Today is Monday, November 9th, 2020. Today we're in another room today. Our usual room is undergoing remodeling and construction, just to let you guys know. So we'll be up and running in our room next year, 2021. Well, today I have another guest on my show today. She is the owner of Cookie Chicks, which is out in Ada. It's near the ballpark. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Miss Holly. Good afternoon, Holly. Good to have you here on my show. Welcome back.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having us back.
Hey, you're welcome. It's been since March, since before all this whole pandemic thing started, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it seems like just yesterday, but it's a number of months ago now.
Yeah. Well, we're now in seven or 8 months into this whole pandemic now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is Cookie? I know you're the founder of Cookie. You're the owner of Cookie Chicks. But what is Cookie Chicks? And what is your connection with Cookie Chicks?
Well, we started Cookie Chicks back in 2015, really mostly as a proof of concept. We had my partner and I at the time. We had been baking cookies and bringing them up to Cannonsburg Ski Resort because we were volunteers and had run the program, the Cannonsburg Challenge Ski Association program, on Sundays up there for 27 years. And we'd be bringing hundreds of cookies up every Sunday. And it got to the point where if we were ever not there, they didn't really care if we were there or not, but the cookies had to be there. So we knew there was something about the cookies. And then after going through a downsizing in 2015, we started Cookie Chicks really just as a proof of concept, an idea, show how you build a brand and branding. And despite our best efforts to put it on the back burner and just have it be a little side hustle, if you will, it became a real business. And in 2017, we built our own space out here in Comstock Park, right on West River Drive. And we've been operating here since then and gone through an expansion last year with some additional space. And we're in the midst of a really big expansion now, taking over the whole building right out onto West River Drive, where we will be not only expanding Cookie Chicks' business, but providing an incubator space for other small businesses to get a start and test the viability of their business, and also to showcase some of the special employees that we have here who are, some might be special needs, but they're part of the Cookie Chicks gang and good members.
Hey, that's really cool, because speaking of the skiing team, it was like the Cannonsburg skiing business. And yep. Every time, if I remember correctly, you guys would give out the cookies as rewards, and also to help the people and the volunteers there at the skiing event.
That's right. We would use them as bribes for the students for a good lesson, and we would also use them to help make sure we had those young college students with the good backs and the good legs for lifting and helping on the ski slopes to keep coming back. Those college students like the free cookie, so it worked well for many years.
It sounded like it did, because back in 2015 and 2016, you guys were nominated for an award too, if I'm not correct.
Yep, we were. Well, it was correct. When we were operating in Ada, and we for 2 years in a row was best cookies in Ada. So,
you know what? I would have to agree with you there. You guys have the best cookies that anyone can find that everyone can find elsewhere, and also.
Thank you.
Because the first time I came there, this was the time that my podcast wasn't named The Joe Show, Connecting All Abilities. It was the Infinity Beyond 26 podcast.
Correct.
Before all this whole COVID thing started, and I came to the place on Monday. It's a really nice building.
Thank you. Well, it's going to be 3 times bigger when we're done.
Hey, you know what? It sure is, though, and because at the ending, because Allie was there, she has a coffee shop out in Ada.
Well, she does work at one, and Allie is here right now. Come here, Allie. So here, she gets around, this girl. So here's Allie. She is our production manager, and she works at Brody's B in Ada, and she works at the McDonald's in Lowell.
Yeah, for over 11 years.
So Allie has been with Cookie Chicks here baking cookies since we first opened up here. So she's been an important part of the team.
Well, she sounds like she has a busy schedule, don't you, Allie?
Yeah, I do.
Good. It's good to hear your voice again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Allie has really, really just grown in this job, particularly within the last, probably year. And she handles a lot of the responsibilities all by herself in here. She has really grown into the spot. So we're quite proud of what she's able to do. And we get to benefit because she makes wonderful stuff here.
Cool. So how does Cookie Chicks connect with all abilities?
Well, again, our start was, through the Challenge Ski Association. So if you're familiar with that group, their motto is, if I can do this, I can do anything. And it challenges various people with different abilities, and sometimes their parents, their family members as well, to kind of think outside the boxes of what's normal for someone who has various, physical or cognitive challenges. And it's one of the things that we loved about being involved with the ski program was that, just because you were an amputee or even if you were a paraplegic or quadriplegic, it doesn't mean you can't get out and enjoy, challenge yourself through various adaptive ski equipment. And so when we started Cookie Chicks, that was always our vision, was to make sure that we help carry that background of who we are and how we got our start into how we do business here. So as an example, Allie, she's our production manager, and she does a really good job at making pretty cookies. I don't know what she does differently, but when she makes the cookies, they always look much nicer than ours. And making sure that we keep her in a lane where she is set up for success. We had another young man in here, and he's on a voluntary furlough due to COVID right now, and we hope to get him back real soon. We really miss him. His name was Zach. Zach had autism and some OCD, so he was wonderful at quality control. And Zach and Allie really worked very well together so that they could make sure that they were producing good quality cookies. And it's a labor force that we personally have benefited from because Allie and people like Allie have, she's very dependable. She takes great pride in her work. She wants to be here. We've gone through the process of getting some other employees in here or teenagers in here. And if they don't want to be here or they don't want to take great pride in their work, you don't want it to hurt the brand. And I say that because one of those teenagers was even my own son. I'd much rather have 10 Allies than a lot of other employees that businesses have. And as long as we can set them up for success in their lane, then it's a win-win. One of the other pieces of business that we have set up probably since the last time you were here, Joe, is that we do a food packing and repacking. And we originally got into this because we had a young man and his partner we knew through the ski program as well. He has been wheelchair bound, I believe, all his life. And he was doing a food packing and repacking business, but that needs to be done in a licensed space. A licensed food productive place. So we had opened up an annex spot so that he and his team could bring in more special needs young adults to do the packing and repacking. Maybe the people that shouldn't be in active open food, but certainly across the way into packing and repacking. And unfortunately, due to COVID, he has not been able to come in here. He and his partner have not been able to come in and run the business as theirs. We've indicated to their parents, we're running it, we're doing it. As soon as you think it's a time that you guys can come in and actually run this business in our licensed space, then we'll hand it over to you. So right now we're doing packing and repacking in the ideal situation. Once it's safe for everybody, past this COVID, and I got to keep looking past COVID. I'd like to expand the workforce so that we have more people in here, more opportunities for success, you know, to take great pride in work. So
that, you know what, that's right. But you know what, you also got to, when you mentioned that, well, when you got to get out and enjoy life, even when you are a paraplegic or if you're wheelchair bound or have health issues. I mean, you got to have fun in life too. Also,
absolutely.
You know, because if you're not going to have fun, I mean, what's the point? I mean, you got to have fun, especially when you do skiing and other sports too, and also at the workforce too.
Correct.
But you got to make it fun.
I think that we tend to put labels on people, all kinds of people these days, but particularly if people have a cognitive or a physical challenge, we get a label, and therefore there is too often an understanding of what they're capable of, but more importantly, what they're not capable of. And so we try to work and we try to communicate, just like we did at the ski place, adaptive work environment, perhaps, adaptive skiing. What kind of equipment and other resources can we utilize that would allow someone to be successful doing the job? It may not be the exact same way that, you know, I might have to get the job done, but, you know, Allie is proof that she can produce a lot of cookies pretty quickly there. So we just got to find different ways to do it. And that's, I think, the challenge sometimes to a lot of employers is, yeah, if I hire a person with a physical or cognitive challenge, that they, you know, we'd need to make special, you know, amenities or setups for them. And yeah, you might, but once you've got them in place, that person's going to be a great employee.
You know what? I think that person will make a very, very good employee when they get to know, how to do this, and how to do that, yep. And like how to pack the food and everything and make the cookies. But you know what? When I did my first show at the Cookie Chicks place, yep. I think you guys gave us some cookies too, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And I will tell you, these were really good cookies.
Well, you use all real good ingredients in there, so.
You guys, you know what? It sounds like you guys do.
Yep.
And you know what? Because and you also have people there. Some people with, I know you have people with special needs, but. Do you have people with visual impairment at the Cookie Chicks place?
I don't currently.
Huh.
We certainly set that up. We've been kind of small, and then with COVID, we kind of contracted again. You know, our shop is actually closed to actual retail, so it's just the employees in here to try to keep everybody safe. I put my mask on and gloves on, and I meet people in the parking lot to get them their cookies. But again, hopefully post-COVID, when we open up the whole new space, the new space will be called Cooking Connection, and our tagline will be causing a stir, in that all of us operating in there, it's going to incubate some other smaller businesses and some established businesses, but all of us will have some larger philanthropic vision to why we do what we do. And that's going to be the mandate for anybody that does business within Cooking Connection. So obviously Cookie Chicks, we've got a heart for the challenged community, but we benefit from that, certainly. There is going to be a coffee roaster in there, and his brother and father had passed away from ALS. So the proceeds from his coffee roasting business will go toward the ALS research. The coffee shop itself will be run by a couple of young people who came here as refugees from Burma, Myanmar, 10 years ago. So they're going to be running the coffee shop, and their philanthropic endeavor will be to help with the homeless resettlement here in West Michigan. I'm talking to another woman, and she'd like to come join us. She's currently up in Traverse City. She makes artisan breads, but her tagline is artisan breads, roof overhead. So she helps efforts against homelessness. So all of us will have some type of larger philanthropic mission. And we're going to be operating under one roof as separate businesses, but all supportive businesses. We're not going to compete against one another. And hopefully, we get in there. And as COVID has shut down a lot of small businesses, we're hoping that our business will help to incubate and give a brick and mortar location to startup businesses, and the philanthropic measures that we're all taking to help and give back to the community. And when I say causing a stir, not only from a baking sense, but we're hoping that it helps to kind of get people to think outside of the box on how you can open a business and support other small businesses at the same time. So that's our effort.
That's a really good effort to do that too. And I think that when you mean stirred, you mean like cause a stir, like when you stir the cookie dough? No.
That's part of it. It's a play on words, but we're also causing a stir. We're going to, you know, some people just really haven't understood the vision that I have. So as I try to explain it to them and the opportunity that we would present to them, they're just, it's not really registering. Everybody thinks they need to have their own individual businesses and pay their, you know, for their own brick and mortar location. And if anything else, COVID has shown that you don't need to have a huge space brick and mortar location. And those businesses that have had a lot of brick and, you know, overhead space, they, even when they're shut down, they still got to pay that rent. And so I think a lot of businesses will not be coming out the other end of this pandemic because they've had so much overhead to carry. We're proposing that on one overhead, we have multiple businesses operating in here and supporting one another from a labor standpoint, from a resources standpoint, the overhead, we all would share the expenses of that. But hopefully doing that and getting the right businesses in here with the right employees. And, you know, as I've spoken with the coffee shop individuals, part of what we want is to have them hire and have right up front special needs individuals, so that as the community comes in to get their coffee or buy their cookies or buy their bread or whatever it is, that they're seeing more individuals like Allie up front working. She's not just wiping tables down. She's working in an actual real cog in the wheel to how we do business. So got lots of efforts going on in here.
Awesome. So what kind of jobs does Cookie Chicks offer for people with special needs? Now, I know that
right now we're kind of tapped out, closed down for retail for anymore. But as we open up the front and we get into the coffee shop, there will be needs for, like Allie is a barista at Brody's B in Ada. And, you know, we would hope that she would maybe even train and help be a barista in the coffee shop up front. We're hoping that she could help do some of the retail up front. Of course, we want her to keep her as a Cookie Chicks resource, making the cookies too. And, you know, we are getting in a lot of our holiday orders in from our customers and looking for specialty cakes and stuff. Well, Allie was handling the prototype cakes last week. So she'll hopefully be handling the cakes for our big customer orders soon too.
All right, that's really cool. I think she can make a really good, good worker at Cookie Chicks.
She is a good worker. I'd like to have a couple more alleys.
So a couple more alleys, you mean like the alleyway or the, no?
No, not that kind of.
I'm just joking.
Allie, who's a Cookie Chick working here. Yep.
Right. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I come back sometime, maybe I'll have to, maybe I could bring the show to Cookie Chicks or something like that, you know, maybe interviews more people with special needs too.
Yeah, well, we were hoping to have the whole new section open by now, but you know, the work that needed to be done delayed things, and now we're coming into our busy season, so I won't really be able to focus real well on opening the new space and probably until after the start of the new year. And so hopefully after the new year, we'll have a little bit better grasp of getting this COVID under control and we can open up again and stuff. But once we get going there, yeah, I would love it if we could touch base and you come back in, you can show the new space and the new businesses in there full of all kinds of special employees. And yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that would definitely be great too, because from what I understand, like you said, like you have you have more people with special needs come and like help you guys out. And you also have teenagers too that like come and help, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
I mean,
the vision we have.
Right. But I know that the teenage life can be a pain, but you got to work around it.
Yep. I think, taking some of today's teenagers and putting them in here as employees are more work than someone who has special needs.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's got to be, what's the little word I'm looking for? I know it's kind of like a pain, would you say?
They're a challenge. They're an extra challenge.
Of course. I mean, they are a challenge, but hey, like when you're at work, I mean, you got to find ways to like, I know like, if you're like stressed or anything, if you need to go cool off for a minute and then go back and then jump right back on the work.
Yep. So, we're excited for what we're going to be able to do in the new space. And we're hoping that we can really expand, not just with square footage, but with what we can offer both to the customers and products that we're producing for them, but also to the community, seeing more people like Allie out there working and contributing. And, it's a whole untapped labor force in a lot of regards that I'd love to see utilized a little bit more.
So how's Cookie Chicks doing right now against the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, I try to be sensitive as I say this, but we're having a really good year. The community has been very good to us. We have always done takeout and delivery. So when COVID came and shut down a lot of bakeries and they didn't have, their business model figured out real well for the takeout and delivery model, it was something we had done all along anyhow. So as other bakeries closed, we were able to remain open because we were busy producing things, like a lot of places were running out of access to flour and yeast and all the things that you need for baking. We had a relationship for a number of years with Food Share here in town, and Food Share was helping to collect up all the food that was backing up in the pipeline, as the restaurants weren't taking deliveries anymore because they were closed from Meyer and Gordon Food Service and Spartan Nash and all these, food purveyors we have in town. They were either going to have to throw that food out, or Food Share was coming to grab them and then helping to redistribute them. Well, so Food Share was able to keep us supplied with flour and yeast and that stuff. But then we were baking up breads and rolls and sticking it back into the system to go like to kids' food basket and the food pantries, so that these kids who suddenly found themselves without meals because the schools closed so quickly, and a lot of schools provide breakfast, lunches, some dinners, weekends, food for families. When they all closed, these kids still needed to eat. So we were baking up things and donating things so it would go back into the system. So we were able to keep ourselves pretty busy. And one of the really nice things, particularly early on when people were kind of scared and quarantining at home and everything was closed, we were getting a lot of phone calls from people to, it started out with one person and it spread from there. It was a tag saying, spreading kindness, ... tag, you're it. So we would deliver onto people's porch steps, cookies or cakes and things, and a surprise for them, and so the kids would be able to decorate cookies and keep them busy, and then in return those parents had to buy some cookies or something and pass it along to someone else. It was like a tag game, and that was a real nice thing we saw early on, and it's kind of petered off. I'm hoping it comes back again, because it was a real nice gesture, I thought.
Well, you know what, I know that we're all in a pandemic right now, but not only were there a shortage of flour, but there was also a shortage in meat too.
Yeah, they were trying, they were talking about all the wonderful meat that was backed up in the system as well, but we really couldn't bring meat into our shop, licensing wise. We didn't want to have raw meat in here, but we did take in lots of eggs and milk and some fruit and 150 pounds of cream cheese and 30 pound blocks and So what we did is we then broke it down into more manageable sizes and then helped distribute that back out to families so that they didn't get a 30-pound brick of cream cheese, but a more manageable, you know, 2-pound brick or something. So, yeah, we were all just scrambling, trying to make sure that the food wasn't going to waste when there's such food insecurity around here to let food go to waste. And knowing that children are going to bed hungry, it's shameful. So
it's also sad too, because in my opinion, I don't think it's a good idea to let food go to waste or throw it out. I mean, just give it to people that are in need of food and restaurants too.
Yeah. But the thing is, everything shut down without thinking logistics through. And after everything shut down, you're like, well, we got all this food. We need to get it into refrigerators. We need to get it out to the people. And that stuff wasn't thought through very well because it closed so quickly. So, you know, those of us that were made aware of the situation were able to scramble and try to help one another to, you know, not let the food go to waste and get it redistributed. But, you know, it's... this pandemic has challenged so many things, and hopefully we've learned so much from about it that we, you know, can avoid such issues in the future, I hope.
Yeah. You know what? I think we could avoid that possibly like next year of early 2021 though. But, you know, because during the pandemic, like in the spring, like there was a fundraiser called Feeding America to help raise money to provide food and help food banks too.
Yep. Yeah. It's important. We got a lot of food insecurity even here in Kent County, Michigan, where, you know, you sit there and think that we don't have such problems, and this pandemic really showed that there's a lot of food insecurity, and a lot of people who never thought that they would be in that position found themselves in the position, and it was really quite troubling.
Well, you know what? It's definitely troubling when you have people like that, because this, I can tell you, this virus has, like I said too, this virus has challenged, and it has created some other challenges too. And you know, but we've all had to get creative in this COVID era.
Yep. And, you know, it's been great to see some of these businesses, I know the term is being used an awful lot, but pivoting and trying to figure out other ways to either reinvent themselves or still get business done. And so in certain regards, I think it's made us a little more innovative and a little bit leaner in a lot of regards. And that's always a good thing from a business perspective. There's others who didn't reinvent themselves, didn't commit to, you know, pivoting and trying to figure out other ways through. And I'm afraid they're either already out of business or soon will be with all the PPP loans coming due and other things. So that's always sad, particularly when you see a small business going under, because, you know, as a small business myself, the work and heart that you put into your business. But yeah.
Well, you guys put a lot of work effort into keeping your business going in this COVID crisis that we're all in right now, not just us, but just the whole entire world.
Yep. Well, I've had a good team in here too, with Rana and Allie and until more recently Zach, committed to coming in and still getting things done, and, you know, not letting it try to affect us too much. So I'm thankful that my team was still willing to come in here and work with us.
Oh, that's really nice too. It's wonderful that the team is nice to come in and help out too, because without teams or anybody helping you keeping your business flow, I mean, you know what could really happen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, Allie's been here all along. Ron has been here all along.
That's good. And if last question I have for you, how can people get a hold of Cookie Chicks if they would like to volunteer or get into or apply for a job at Cookie Chicks?
Well, I would encourage everybody to contact us either directly with our telephone number. We're on our website. It's cookie-chicks.com. You got to have that dash in there. or through our Facebook or Twitter, which is Cookie Chicks GR, all one word.
Yep.
Or our telephone number is 616-552-9510. But, or come knock on our window. I'll meet you in the parking lot with a mask and we can talk. But, yeah, I'm hoping that starting in January or when we're in our new space, we'll have lots more opportunities and ability to showcase some of what we're capable of doing in some growth areas. So, and on the one hand, January seems like so far away, but it's, what, a month and a half away at this point, so.
Well, you know what? You know what? We're getting close to December because Thanksgiving, it's right around the corner, but I know the holidays this year, everything's going to look different this year, but you know what? You guys also have a Facebook page, too.
Yes. So it's Cookie Chicks GR on Facebook, so.
Yep.
No hyphen.
Alrighty, because if I come to your shop again, we'll all, everyone's going to have to remain 6 feet apart, socially distanced, and have masks and gloves on, too.
Yep, that's how we're building out the space. So when we initially open, it's not going to be for people sitting down and hanging out and eating because we want to still keep people moving along with the whole COVID thing. But hopefully we're all going to be learn how to be very fast and efficient in preparing the food and getting it to people so that they can, you know, take it to go well. They can enjoy it outdoors. Once the weather gets nice again, we'll set up outdoor dining. But yep, at this point right now, it's going to be very COVID friendly environment. Yes.
That's right. Because some restaurants are right now to keep their business alive. They're like some of them are like using like the heaters and everything else during the cold too.
Get into Michigan winter soon, that's going to be harder and harder to do, and keep everybody safe and still deliver good product. You know, good hot meal should be eaten hot rather than sitting out and getting snow on it. But
right, but you guys could also maybe use like a an outdoor bubble or something.
Yeah, I got mixed feelings on those. If we can't eat inside and keep it all sterile, how are we going to keep it outside? But you know, places are doing it, we'll figure it out, you know.
Well, like you said, you got to think outside the box.
Yep. That's what we're trying to do. It seems to have been serving us well thus far. Hopefully it continues. Like I said, the community has been very good to us. They keep us in mind as a small little local business, and they're supportive of us. And you know, everything from the local person so we can make the birthday cakes for their child's birthday to the corporations who need, you know, just pick me up gifts for their employees and stuff. So we've been able to keep going pretty well.
Cool. But you know what, if baseball games are running, if they start like maybe next spring or next summer, maybe you guys could probably give cookies to the Whitecaps too.
Well, we've had those discussions with them. Yep, that's certainly not off the table.
And maybe they could treat you guys to to watch a baseball game too at the ballpark, since you guys
we've been in there as their guests before. They've been good to Cookie Chicks. We all like to go and see a good baseball game.
That's really cool, because I've been to Whitecaps baseball games. They're fun.
They are. They do a very good job for our community here. Make it a reasonable, family-friendly evening out.
Well, it's connecting with community, and we live in a nice community here in Grand Rapids.
Yes, we do. We do.
Well, thank you for being on my show today. Before we go, is there anything you would like to say or add to the conversation regarding Cookie Chicks?
Well, you know, we spoke to you in the spring, and it was before pandemic, and I'm thrilled to say that we're still here and we're doing okay, and I'm thrilled that we're talking to you again. You're still there and doing okay. And I really just hope everybody, you know, that we can pull together and hunker down and get through this stupid pandemic and get back to normal or as normal life as we can. And we would love to be able to talk to you again after the start of the year and invite you into our new space and show you how not only have we survived, but we've been thriving and are growing, and hope to continue on that vein for a while.
Well, thank you very much, but you know what? We'll get back to normal when we have a vaccine. But don't worry. Yep. I mean, we're you know, We're getting close to the end of 2020, thank God, and we're going to get close to the end of, we're going to get to the beginning of 2021.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully it'll be a much better year for everybody all around.
Yep, and I'm pretty sure everybody will be excited for that, too.
Yeah, oh yeah. We're happy to put 2020 behind us.
So am I. I think all of us are, too, you know.
Yeah. No.
All right.
Well, love to talk to you again after the start of the year, Joe. Okay?
All righty. It sounds good. I can't wait to see you and hear you again, too.
Okay.
And I would love to have you back on my show again.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to talk about having a lot more, you know, specially challenged people as employees in here.
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe I could take my show on the road or something.
Yeah, maybe we can do that all once again.
Yeah, when this whole COVID crisis thing is over with.
Yep.
All right. Well, is there anything else?
Nope, I guess that's it. Thanks for having us on again.
You're welcome. Then I guess we'll just wrap it up.
Okay.
All right. Well, that concludes today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed. Please don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment down below. You can find my show on Stitcher, and you can also find my show on the Whole Picture Podcast, powered by WKTV Studios, and also on Anchor.fm, which is also powered by WKTV Studios. And you can find me on Spotify and Stitcher. I will see you guys next week, Monday, November 16th. And November 16th, guys, will be the last episode of the show of Season 2 of The Joe Show, Connecting All Abilities. So stay safe, take good care of yourself, wash your hands, and wear a mask. So I will see you all next week, Monday. And until next time, peace.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.